Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mahidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So, just referring back to the verse 14. In the use of this word, pratibandha. Pratibandha means an obstruction. So, in terms of the drishtanta, so two terms for you to remember. I know most of you know this term, but still. Drishtanta means the illustration that's being used. And so, in this case, the drishtanta is the father trying to hear his son who's chanting with a group of other chanters. And those group of other chanters become the pratibandha for him actually to be able to distinguish the voice of his son. So that's the pratibandha. The drishtanta is this illustration that is used to as an example for what we call the darshtanta. The darshtanta is the thing that the drishtanta is an example for. Right, so you'll see these two words, drishtanta, darshtanta. So darshtanta is the actual thing. So here, the drishtanta has to do with the father's ability to hear the voice of the son amidst all of these chanters, but not clearly, because it's combined so much with the sound of all of the other boys that are chanting. Right, so he has what we call asamanya jnanam. That jnanam means knowledge. Samanya jnanam means a general appreciation of his son. He's seeing him there. He's seeing him chanting. And he can kind of hear him. But it's not what we call vishesha jnanam. Vishesha jnanam means that very particular clarity about the particular voice of his son, not combined with the voices of the other boys. So that just general knowledge is there. The vishesha jnanam is not there. So there's another couple of terms. Samanya jnanam, vishesha jnanam. An example, just to kind of imprint this into your mind. Mm-hmm. When we use the rope snake analogy, right? There is, if I mistake or project a snake onto a rope, there is not complete jnanam of the rope. Rather, I have what we call samanya jnanam, just a general knowledge of the rope in the sense of the bends of the rope, the length of the rope, the diameter of the rope, the roughness of the rope, whatever. We say sometimes the thisness of the rope in terms of its length, its diameter, its bends, all of that. That I have jnanam of. But it's a samanya jnanam. It's a very general knowledge of the name and form of the rope, of the form of the rope. But that form could also be many other things. That's why it's just general. You have a general perception of a form that could as well be the form of a snake or of a crack in the earth or of a water streak, you know, or of a branch. So anything that could possibly have that form can actually be projected on it. Whereas, if you have complete ajnanam, and these boys are walking by the rope, they have complete ajnanam, there's no problem at all because they don't even see the samanya ajnanam, this general shape, they don't even see that. And so there's no projection that's going to take place. But because they only have samanya ajnanam, right, then that can lend itself to any amount of the rope, samanya ajnanam of the rope. That can lend itself to many different types of projection of anything that can kind of fit into that rupa, into that form. And so in order for the snake to disappear, right, because it's a subjective projection, you really need to have what we call vishesha jnanam. Vishesha means particular knowledge I have to see the thisness of the rope as a rope, right? Not just the mistaken, the form. I see the form without what the form actually is. I have the samanya jnanam, and then I miss the ropeness of the rope. If I have vishesha jnanam of that form, I see the ropeness of the form, right? So these terms, vishesha jnanam and samanya jnanam, general knowledge and particular knowledge, are really important in terms of how it is that we can even gain self-knowledge of a self which is not an object in the creation for us to have both the samanya jnanam and the vishesha jnanam given to us, this general knowledge that is accompanied with the particular knowledge of the nature of the self to remove whatever ajnanam is there. So in the rope snake, it's good because my sense organs can see, discover the ropeness of the rope, so the projection of the snake can be removed. But here I can't see consciousness in order to have either samanya jnanam or vishesha jnanam in terms of something that can be cured, you know, taken care of by my sense perception of the vishesha jnanam of the self, of the particular knowledge of my nature. And so here, what is important here is nevertheless, because yourself is self-evident, your self-experience is self-evident, you don't need to have your sense organs or an objectification or any kind of pramana to give you the self-evident experience of me. You know, we all, ajnani, jnani, animals, all beings, have the self-evident experience of me, this conscious being. We, as humans, I suppose we can reflect on it in a way that animals and maybe trees don't. Who knows? We don't think so. They just are that. And that is their own self-experience, exactly the same self-experience that you have, because the self-experience is intrinsic to the self. No upadhi is giving you the self-experience. The self-experience, whole universe goes away, the self-experience is there. But that self-experience for an ajnani, somebody who doesn't have self-knowledge, is samanya jnanam. You have the general self-evident experience of yourself. But if somebody was to ask you, who are you? Then your mind just goes, what? Who am I? Well, I'm this person here standing before you. Yeah, I know, but yeah, blah, blah, blah. And you know, go any farther than that, you know, anything that any of these upadis, go any farther than the upadis, then the question, then it is, I don't know. I know that I am, that I exist, that I am a conscious being. Samanya jnanam. Not objectified, because self-evident, I can say this about myself. So I have samanya jnanam. Vishesha jnanam is not there. Unless I have knowledge. The vishesha jnanam is, do you know if you survive after death? I hope so, but I don't know. You know, what is your relationship as a conscious being to everybody else's? Because everybody's a conscious being. Are you a bubble of consciousness and they're a bubble of consciousness? Or what is that consciousness? What gives rise to the consciousness? What is the relationship of consciousness to each other? Does Ishwara have consciousness? Is there a God? You know, all of these questions in your mind just, I have, maybe you say, I have my ideas and beliefs, but I don't really know. That's the absence of vishesha jnanam. You have samanya jnanam, you don't have vishesha jnanam, right? And you don't have absolute ignorance either. If there's absolute ignorance, that's why deep sleep gives you that little time out, you know, to where the mind is totally withdrawn. And there's no samanya jnanam or vishesha jnanam. It's totally a non-issue from the standpoint of the mind. All you are is enjoying your being plus ajnanam. Total ajnanam, not partial ajnanam. Right? And so now, so we have these terms. Drishtanta is the illustration that is used to try to make this vishesha jnanam and samanya jnanam clear. So we have the drishtanta of the chanting boy in the group. Okay. That drishtanta is for the darshtanta, which means here in reference, I'm the darshtanta, right? So why is it that I don't know myself? What is the obstruction? What is the paribandha for my only having samanya jnanam, but not vishesha jnanam? I know myself, I know myself, I know that I have a self, that I am a self, I know that I'm a conscious being, I know that I exist, samanya jnanam, but I don't really know anything about myself. Who is the conscious being that exists? No vishesha jnanam. So what is the paribandha? What is the obstruction here in which this drishtanta, the chanting boy in the group, you know, what is the paribandha here in reference to my vishesha jnanam, my really knowing who I am, not just having the experience? I know exactly what I am. Particular knowledge, just not general knowledge. Okay, so in this verse that we did yesterday, but I said I wanted to do a little bit more on it. Here it says in the top line, it's talking about the drishtanta. It says the cause for the pratibandhika there in terms of hearing the sound of the sun, what the boy who's chanting, the cause for that is the samana abhihara, the collection of boys that are doing exactly the same thing. So the same chant is going on by many other people. So the samana means it's the same. The word that's being chanted is the same. And it's a mingling, it's the co-mingling of all of this. The abhihara means there's many people doing the same thing together. Okay? So it's exactly the same. That becomes, for this drishtanta, that becomes the pratibandha for being able to clearly hear the boy. What is the pratibandha for you knowing yourself? Because who you are exactly, because the samanya jnanam is there. I know that I am, I know that I exist. All beings are in the same predicament. There, it's not a predicament, it's just samanya jnanam. You all know that you are a conscious being, but you don't know anything else about it. Really, if you push the envelope just a little bit, it's like, it comes down to belief. You know, there's no way to prove anything there. And so, I don't know. That's the sensible answer. I don't know. I have certain wishes, certain desires, certain beliefs, but I don't know. So that means, what is the pratibandha for this lack of vishesha jnanam, this particular ignorance? You know, this particular pratibandha, what is it exactly? So he says here in the second line of 14, verse 14, he says, here in reference to myself, what is the pratibandha? He says, anadihi avidya eva. Pratibandha is the beginningless ignorance. He says, vyamoha eka nibandana. This beginningless ignorance is the sole cause. Nibandana means cause. Is the eka nibandana, the sole cause for this vyamoha. So this vyamoha, moha means delusion, then vya is, these are emphasis, this incredible confusion. It's vyamoha because it's universal, it's a universal confusion. It's not like some people, they aren't suffering from beginningless ignorance. You know, a few lucky ones didn't get caught in the beginningless ignorance somehow. You know? But then most of us did. No, beginningless ignorance is beginningless ignorance. It belongs to the upadhi, to the Ishvara upadhi itself. From the standpoint of every vyeshti, every individual within that Ishvara upadhi is subject to maya from the other side, and is that maya from its other side, not from the side of Ishvara, from the whole creation where there is no ajnanam, but for everyone within that, they are subject to ajnanam because of the very nature of the creation. The creation is there, ajnanam is there for anything within the creation. The only good thing is about this, not that, I mean, we all get to be here, we're ignorant, but okay, we get to be here. Okay, so, the wonderful thing about ajnanam, which is a natural byproduct, we could say, natural to the maya upadhi, is that ajnanam by its nature is beginningless. We I mentioned that yesterday. It is beginningless, but it comes to an end. You know, how does it come to an end? Ajnanam always and only comes to an end through knowledge. Knowledge of what? In the rope snake, it's not knowledge of the snake that brings the ajnanam to an end. It's knowledge of the rope for which you have the ajnanam, right? And so the rope knowledge will eliminate the mithyajnanam of the snake. The snake is not real, but the snake is there being experienced. Therefore, it's maya, it's mithya. That's its order of reality. And as long as I'm analyzing the snake, well, what kind of a snake is it? Where did the snake come from? You know, what is it actually made out of? What are the qualities of the snake? You're just getting deeper and deeper into Ishwara's maya. It's the same thing, you know. I mean, science is wonderful. Math is wonderful. We learn so much and it's so beautiful. But we're just diving deeper and deeper and deeper into maya. And we can dive endlessly into maya. But what is the... If the maya itself or our sense of limitation, you know, is due to ajnanam, it's not ajnanam, ignorance of maya. It's ignorance of the adhishtana of maya, of what is actually here. Like the rope is what is actually there. What is actually here is the self. And so this self-ignorance needs to be removed. So here he says, the problem that we're suffering from is this beginningless avidya, which brings about this vyamoha, this collective confusion about my nature, which has for its source avidya. So avidya is the cause of this universal mistake, this universal adhyasa, superimposition of my own being onto this mithya creation, which has it for its own being. That is the issue. And so now, now they're going to go on and explain what, you know, kind of where does this avidya come from, and all those three beautiful verses. But just to recap on this, so here's the reality of your experience that really needs to be unfolded for the jiva, for the mind, buddhi, that is suffering from this beginningless ignorance. The mind has to come into recognition, you know, of what is actually there. Like in the snake rope, I have to come to the recognition of, oh, that is a rope. It's not a snake, it's a rope. I have to recognize the rope. Here I have to recognize myself. This is not a theory. It's not theoretical, like a philosophical understanding. We are actually experiencing this creation and myself as this body, mind, sense organs. Here we are, as limited beings, subject to birth and death, subject to all of our emotions, you know, all of our raga dveshas. Here we are as human beings who want to be whole and want to be complete and want to be free, and yet we find ourselves, we're stuck with all of these raga dveshas and pains of the past and all of these things. There's really no freedom because there's no control. Like, you can't just say, you know, I think, I just want to be happy, okay? Just leave it be. I just want to be happy, so let's have it be that way. Okay? Okay? Can I look at my... Okay, everybody? Can we all agree to that? And the mind just goes, well, I don't really hear a word you're saying. I have my own ways of being, born of ajnanam. I have my own ways, you know? Like if you say, I'm not going to get angry anymore. Don't do anything to make me angry then. I'm not going to have raga dveshas anymore. Right? Then don't present anything that I might like. It's silly, you know, but that's the fact of it. We are human beings here in this situation experiencing so much suffering, so much dukkha, caused by what? The dukkha belongs to the upadis, and why am I suffering? Because I am totally, because of beginningless ignorance, one with these upadis. They are not upadis to me. I am this body. I am this mind. I am these sense organs. I am these emotions. That's my experience, because I have no knowledge, vishesha jnanam, of myself. And yet here I am, a conscious being, and from the standpoint of the upadis, from the standpoint of maya, which I experience in the form of these upadis. This maya that affects me the most is the part of maya that I'm identified with. I am identified with maya in terms of this body, mind, sense organs, moods, emotions, relationships. This is my maya. This is where the identification takes place. I actually don't have an identification with any of you or anything else, except really for one thing that matters to me. And that is, I identify or project upon you, just as I project upon this body, my sat-chit ananda, I project it onto the body. I project sat-chit, conscious being, onto all of you, the sat-chit, which is me. Everybody gets it. The whole universe gets it equally. Everything that I experience, no problem with that, really. You're all as real as I am. I am real, you're all real. But then, of course, the problem is the ananda, you know. I project the ananda, not on all of you. If I projected it on all of you, say I project the ananda on everything, this is all ananda. That's more of a Ishvara meditation, where your mind is not limited by any given thing which is other than you. You know? But what if all things, you know, all things exist, all things have consciousness, all things are known, all things exist, all things are expressions of ananda. If that's my vision, then that's like, as a little, say I had that vision and I'm a little child and my mom asked if, what kind of, you know, animal cracker do you want? Do you want the giraffe? Or do you want the horse? Do you like the horse animal cracker? Would you like the giraffe animal cracker? How about the doggy animal cracker? Which one would you like? Oh, Mom, they're all just namarupas. They're all just names and forms of graham cracker. So whatever graham cracker you give me, I will be so happy. You know? Not bad for, you know. You know, that's interesting. I actually get to that point even with when the kartvatvam doership is still there. Everything is just Ishvara. I'm not asking for Ishvara to come to me in one form. I see the whole, all experience only as Ishvara, as an expression of Brahman. So there still might be some dvaita there, but there's a lot of karma yoga buddhi where everyone is a namarupa, name and form of Bhagawan, and so I treat the whole creation and everybody in it with that Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, as though I'm doing puja. The way that I would treat you is the way I would treat Ishvara as doing puja, as a worship. And I treat everything that comes my way as prasadam, because everything is only Ishvara. So those are beautiful for the person who's starting to gain knowledge. These things become, because they're in harmony with the knowledge, you know. But until that knowledge comes that straightens me out in reference to this avidya, which itself is responsible for the limitations that I feel in terms of the identification of all the upadis, the body, mind, sense organs, with me. And the reason there's the upadis, the Ishvara upadi, and all of the individual upadis, right? They will all of them, with or without knowledge, be identified with me to the degree that there's sattva. If it's a lamp or a floor, and from the standpoint of there's that floor, there's no sukshma sharira there, the floor doesn't have any sense of identification with the self. It is simply known. It has sat-chit. It is known. But it doesn't have the sukshma sharira to make that mistake with the ajnanam, the subtle body, to make that mistake of I am. I am the floor. You're all sitting on me. Swamiji jokes like that. the couch. He's sitting there on his asana, and the asana is saying, "You're sitting on me, you're sitting on me." It doesn't have a sukshma sharira, it doesn't have a sattva, so it only is known. In the Ishwara Upadhi, everything is known, 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 the whole thing without any identification. But then, the individuals that had the sukshma sharira, subtle body, they're not only known, right? They're not only illumined, that because of the ajnanam, they take themselves, because of the sattva reflecting consciousness, they take themselves to be the very upadhi. That is the problem. So I become, who am limitless, the very self from which the entire creation comes, I become limited by that identification with these upadhis born about only because of avidya. Avidya, ajnanam, it comes to an end only through knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of myself. This is not theoretical. This is the reality that we find ourselves in. There is a mistake here that is causing me to be, I'll take myself to be a limited being. That mistake has to be corrected by removing the ajnanam of what? Of the vishesha jnanam of myself. The samanya jnanam is fine. I know I exist. I know I'm a conscious being. But I don't know that I'm the non-dual reality of this entire creation, and my nature is ananda, which with ignorance is projected onto everybody else, but actually there is no other ananda except myself. That I don't know. And so the knowledge, that knowledge has to become thorough, because the ajnanam is beginningless, and there is no first time that I started making this mistake. Or there's no first time when avidya just raised its head and I had a prior condition of knowledge. Avidya, ignorance, is beginningless. And here we are with ajnanam, but because of the mumukshutvam, there is a pramana, there's a means of knowledge that as a mumukshu comes your way naturally, it comes your way to remove this self-ignorance which is here present as our experience right now that we are suffering from. So avidya is the cause, is a cause, this avidya of myself is the cause, and avidya needs to be removed. And so it has to be the avidya of myself needs to be removed, not theoretically, not as a hypothetical idea, but I actually have to remove the avidya that is actually here, operational, this operational avidya. So that's why the Upanishads give what we call aparoksha jnanam, direct, immediate knowledge of yourself, which itself removes the avidya, removes the problem. And so therefore the liberation itself, moksha itself, is really only the removal of the ajnanam. Because you're fine, there is no problem at all. There's no problem for you. There's a problem from the standpoint of the upadhis, which are suffering from the avidya. And that's what's creating so much pain. So there's that verse. Now, they're on me. Where's your glasses? Swamiji tells jokes about it. Okay. So now, we need to understand in more depth what this maya is, and how and why and what way it divides itself up into Ishwara and the Jiva, and what's involved in that. So there's a few verses here. Okay? So we did this one. Why don't we chant all three? You want to?
Prakritir dvividha chasa. Sattva-shuddhya-vishuddhi-vyam. Maya-vidye-chate-mate.
Maya bimbo vashi kritya.
Maya bimbo vashi kritya.
Tamsya sarvajna ishwaraha.
Tamsya sarvajna ishwaraha.
Avidya vashakastvanyaha.
Avidya vashakastvanyaha.
Tatvai chitryadane kadha.
Tatvai chitryadane kadha.
Sakarana shariram syat.
Sakarana shariram syat.
Prajnyastatra bhimanavan.
Prajnyastatra bhimanavan.
Okay. So Chidananda, we read through this together, didn't we? So Chidananda, Maya, Brahma, Pratibimba, Samandita, Tamo, Rajasattva Guna, Prakritihi, Dvivida, Chasa. So first, this is now this initially this definition of prakriti. Prakriti is another name for maya. Okay, when we say prakriti, we're talking about like we have the maya. What it is generally, that's its name, maya. But what is this material? What is the maya? What is it? What is the prakriti? So usually we say prakriti when we're really analyzing maya as sattva, rajas, and tamas, how the maya works. So the material maya is called prakriti. They're synonymous in a way. So here, it says at the end, it says, okay, prakriti hi. Then the first definition of what is prakriti, what is maya? Chid ananda maya. Maya is not maya. Maya. Brahma pratibimba samandita. Okay. So prakriti is that which is together, itself is together, samandita, conjoined with, joined with, the pratibimba, the reflection of chit anandamaya Brahman, the reflection of Brahman, which is comprised of maya. Here, this maya, short maya, means it's made of, comprised of chit ananda, consciousness and ananda, consciousness which is limitless, which is fullness. The asti is understood. The isness, the sat, is understood. Because if sat, chit, consciousness is. And consciousness is, that means consciousness is. Sat, sat is consciousness. That's another way to think about this, because sat is chit, is ananda, is limitless fullness. Limitless is really what it is. We have to spend more time on that. The sat is chit, is ananda. So if I say chit, chit, then it is sat. Right? It chit, otherwise it's asat. Asat would mean it doesn't exist. So that's why the sat can be taken for granted if I'm saying chit, and you know what chit means, limitless consciousness. The conscious swarupa is chit. So we could say sat chit ananda. He chooses not to. He says chit consciousness, which is ananda, which is limitless fullness, maya brahma. So brahma, brahman, brahman is composed of, is comprised of, made of, the sat chit ananda, chit ananda maya brahma. But what about it? What is it? So the chit ananda maya brahma pratibimba samanvita. So the prakriti is something which is united with that because of the sattva, that reflection, the pratibimba. Remember, pratibimba means reflection, bimba means the object that's reflected. So that reflection, which is comprised of the Satchitananda Brahman. Okay, so, and that prakriti is tamo uraja sattva guna. 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 Prakriti is feminine, so guna is feminine. Prakriti has these three gunas, the sattva guna, the rajas guna, and the tamo guna, tamas guna. So sattva, rajas, tamas, these three gunas are the prakriti. But we have to put a little bit of emphasis on that is because often if you say, you know, prakriti has tamas, rajas, and tamas, you can't say it like that. Because then there's a substantive that we call prakriti or maya, and it has these three qualities. Here for maya, it's not three qualities. Maya is these three things combined together, very interrelated with each other, sattva, rajas, and tamas. It's not that there's something else to prakriti other than sattva, rajas, and tamas. It is these three gunas. So gunas here can be translated as strands, you know, or parts in a sense. You don't want to translate it as qualities, because then there's a substantive that's being brought in, the object that has the qualities. There's no object here. There's sattva, rajas, and tamas. These three gunas, you know, are the prakriti or maya. So the prakriti, for which is the sattva, which is comprised of the sattva, rajas, and tamo gunas. Okay, that's what the prakriti is. This prakriti itself reflects the Satchitananda, Brahman. What is natural to it, these three gunas are then reflect the sattva, the Satchitananda, which is Brahman. So they are, the whole Maya reflects Brahman. Now, what is the one to reflect Brahman? The sattva. Sattva reflects Brahman. And then the rajas and tamas are united and working around along with the sattva guna. But of the three gunas, the one that acts as a pratibimba, as a reflection, right, is the sattva. Rajas is as though inert, it's the active principle. Tamas is though inert. But when you think of, say, in terms of the whole creation, you say that there is this pratibimba. It is a pratibimba. The prakriti is a pratibimba of Brahman. Well, there's some reasons for that. One is that Maya itself is mitya. If you remember, the definition of mitya is that which is. There's two definitions of mitya. One is mitya. First of all, to remember, mitya is an order of reality. So the order of reality, you know, of Maya is that which is we call mitya, which means it can't be defined as satyam. It's not satyam. It's not that order of reality. It means it's not subject to satyam is something which is never subject to negation in past, present, or future. That's satyam. Maya can't fit into that because it's continually changing. But you experience it. And because you experience it here, we're experiencing this, it cannot be defined as asat, as non-existent. If it's non-existent, you can't experience it. It's not there. So asat means it is not there. Okay. So here, Maya, everything within Maya, Maya itself, has the order of reality that we call mitya, because it doesn't fit either of the other categorizations, because it's subject to change, but we experience it. But it doesn't fit into the definition of satyam because it changes. And so if it changes, actually, it can't have any being of its own because it's continually coming into being and going out of being because every part of it is changing, really, because of the rajas. So it comes into being and goes out of being. And so therefore, we need another definition of why we say something is mitya. It is because it has no being of its own, no independent being, because everything that you try to grapple with within mitya, you can't find it, first of all. If you analyze it to try to find a substance, you can't find it. You can only find nama-rupa, forms, never the substance of the form. And all of these forms that you discover that you can't find the truth of come into being and go out of being. You can't find the substance, nor can you find anything that is not bordered by non-existence. And so we say, we have another definition for something which we define as mitya in terms of its order of reality, and that is it depends 100% for its being on its adhishtana. The adhishtana is what is actually there. Right? And so these satyam, the satyam, mitya, tucham, the absolute non-existence. We have to know these terms as being orders of reality of what? The satyam is the order of reality of Brahman, of that which what is existence itself that doesn't have a prior condition. So Brahman is satyam. It's the only thing that is satyam. It is existence itself. It didn't come into being from non-existence, and it doesn't go out of being. Because it is just being, being itself that is non-negatable. That's the only thing that is that, is the Brahman, which is myself. The Atma is Brahman, right? Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. So that self is Satyam. Tuchim is just a useful categorization to understand Mithya, because Tuchim means something which has no existence whatsoever. That's kind of a useful in order to understand Mithya. Like if we say, what is the reality of the city and the sky? You know, the city and the clouds. What is the reality of that? There is no city. There is no city in the clouds. You know, it's tuchim. It's not there. What is, these are stock examples. What is the reality of the horn of a rabbit? Rabbits have no horns. It's not natural to a rabbit to have horns. Even though now, but it's not there. There is no horn of a rabbit. It's not there to be experienced. That's what we mean by tuchim. And so that's absolute non-existence as an order of reality versus satyam. That's what has absolute existence. So we have these two. It's like a sandwich: absolute existence and absolute non-existence. Satyam tuchim. In between is the whole universe, everything. Subjective and objective. This is Ishwar Srishti, Ishwar's creation, this objective. This is Mithya, because it comes into being, goes out of being. My subjective creations and projections, Pratibhasika, Mithya, you know. So everything in this, because of the Rajoguna, really, you know, because there's change, because there's life, because there's activity, the whole thing falls under Mithya, which means it has no being of its own. No part of it. Even the Ajnanam has no being of its own, because it comes to, it goes out of being. You can say, well, Maya, that doesn't come into being and go out of being. That is correct. But the Maya has for its being Brahman. Maya belongs to Brahman as an incidental attribute. And so Maya is the incidental attribute of the Sat-Chit-Atma, you know. And so that has it, Maya naturally by its very nature has been and has for its Adhishtana, Brahman, as does everything within Maya, right? Maya itself has no being apart from Brahman. It belongs to Brahman as an incidental attribute. That's where it is located. Nothing can be really outside of the Sat-Chit-Atma. But in the creation, as we analyze the creation, everything comes into being and goes out of being. That means it's bordered by non-existent. Therefore, it's Mithya. And since we experience its existence, it is known. We experience the existence of all of it. We experience everything. It is and it is known. That is knownness, that isness in consciousness, is there because of the Adhishtana. The Sat-Chit is the Adhishtana. The Sat-Chit is Brahman. The Sat-Chit is me. There's only one Sat-Chit. Because if there was more than two, it would have to come into being and go out of being. It would belong to space. It would exist within time and space. There's only one Sat-Chit. That one Sat-Chit is the Adhishtana of absolutely everything that is. So the real definition of Maya, other than it's neither Sat nor Asat or Tuchim, is that it is that which depends solely upon something else for its being. And so what is the Adhishtana of the entire Maya? Of the entire Maya? Not just of the desk. In the desk we have to go down, 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 down to find ultimately Brahman. But the entire Maya, it can't be any limited Adhishtana that exists within the creation. It has to be the Adhishtana, the truth of the entire thing. Because this whole creation comes into being. Here's the entire infinite creation. It's all held together by laws. You know, it's not that something's hanging out there by itself. So everything in the creation is totally interrelated. So this is one infinite being. One infinite interrelated being. That is, from my standpoint, it is and it is known. It enjoys Sat-Chit. So Sat-Chit-Ananda, conscious being, is the non-objectifiable, not an object in consciousness, but which every single thing that you experience has as its adhishthana finally. It is and it is known. It's not, this is kind of is, but this is a little bit more. No, everything, subtle and physical, it is and it is known. What is and is known is only Brahman. Brahman is the satya, maya is the mitya. And so this mitya maya, if we want to look at what is this maya, we say that this maya is what is responsible for the projection of the entire creation. This is what is responsible for it. And that material we call prakriti. And that prakriti has three aspects, three parts, sattva, rajas, and tamas. These three parts, this prakriti, from beginningless times, projects this creation, sustains it, and resolves into it. Into what? It resolves into itself, into unmanifest condition, which is one, what we call goes into this unmanifest condition, which is what we call prakriti, or maya. It is maya in unmanifest condition that has for its adhishthana the self, has for its adhishthana Brahman. Okay? And now we have thing, okay, so this maya projects as this creation. But now, in this verse, it says, this prakriti, which is the tamas, rajas, and sattva guna, which has Brahman for its pratibimba, you know, it's a reflection, it reflects Brahman, really, because of the sattva. It says, this prakriti, this maya, is dvida, is twofold. It's twofold. Why? Because, well, let's look at this next verse. It's twofold because in this maya, we have to account for the total maya, and then we have to account for all of the individuals within the maya. So the twofoldness has to do with maya, which, just a little aside, because it'll help me unfold this. We say that maya is twofold. Let's look at it like this for now. Maya has two capacities. One capacity is what we call vikshepa. It has the capacity to project the whole creation. In Tattva Bodha, we went through that. You know, it, from the standpoint of Ishvara, the maya, the prakriti, an unmanifest condition that we call Ishvara, Brahman plus Ishvara, projects the entire creation first as the subtle body of Hiranyagarbha, and then the whole virat, the whole physical. This whole creation is a projection of maya. And when the one who has this abhimana, the identification with that, with the entire creation, is what we call Ishvara. But in that entire creation that has been projected, there's a second power that the maya has, and that is called avarana. Avarana means that which acts as a covering. Because from the standpoint of the jiva upadis, each jiva upadi, and we're talking about the all living beings, all living beings that really have a sukshma sharira. We'll go to the pure tamas later. All of the living beings that have a sukshma sharira, all of them that are part of this infinite creation, that are part and parcel of Ishvara, but from their own standpoint, they are limited upadis that are very much affected by tamas and rajas. Right? This body is tamas. Right? I have sattva, the sensory, the five sense organs and the mind. I have the rajas in the terms of the five pranas and the five organs of action. And I have tamas in terms of this physical body, which is pervaded by the sense of touch. And so my sattva is not pure sattva. It's sattva that is intermingled with tamas and rajas, right? Which gives me, of course, from the standpoint of this body, mind, sense organs, a limitation, an avarana. I don't recognize myself as Brahman that has this infinite Ishvara upadi. I recognize myself, because of the contamination of the rajas and tamas, as this person, right? Because this sukshma sharira doesn't extend past my skin. It only comes to here. It doesn't go over to you, so I am different than you. I'm this conscious being, you're that conscious being. And in the space, it's just inert. So conscious being, conscious being, conscious being, conscious being, all limited by the sattva and rajas. So now, if we look at maya, the prakriti, has these two qualities, these two capacities, vikshepa, projecting, no problem, ishwara, ajnanam, avadana, that which covers me, Brahman, the Satchitatma Brahman. It covers me. The pratibimba is the pratibimba. The reflection is subject to ajnanam. The reflection means the sattva, my mind and senses, subject to ajnanam because of the contamination of rajas and tamas. Then, because of that ajnanam, when it reflects consciousness, then because of the ajnanam, there's no viveka between myself, my being, and the consciousness with which it is enjoying, you know. So it takes itself to be me, the limitless consciousness from whom the whole creation comes. Of course it does, because it has sattva. It is limited, you know. It is limited and outlined by rajas and tamas. It gets a nice outline there. And so my consciousness is, of course, limited and different from your consciousness. That's the condition of being a jiva. And so now, what he's going to do is define, you know, these two conditions for us. Let's just do this next verse, then we'll continue it next class. Sattva. Further.
Oh.
There was 16. No, 16. Did we
chanted?
Do it? Yeah, we always chant. Oh, that's right. You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Sattva shuddhi. Avishuddhi bhyam. Maya avidya. No, sorry. Maya avidye.
Maya avidye.
Chate mate.
Chate mate.
Maya bimbaha.
Maya bimbaha.
Vashikritya.
Vashikritya.
Tam syat,
tam syat,
sarvajnyaha,
sarvajnyaha,
ishvaraha,
ishvaraha.
So here it says, from the previous Buddha, saying the prakriti maya is twofold. So here is the twofold. How does it become twofold? First of all, what it says is, sattva shuddhi avishuddhi bhyam, maya and avidya. This is a dwandva compound, maya and avidya. They both, you know, are considered. These are both. The prakriti is viewed as maya and avidya, because of what? For Ishwara, it's because of sattva shuddhi. In other words, that which reflects consciousness, the sattva, is vishuddha. It's pure. What does it mean that it's pure? It is not contaminated by any identification with rajas or tamas. That's the vishuddhi. So the sattva vishuddhi means it's sattva alone. So the maya, from the standpoint of Ishwara, their only identification is sattva, which pervades the whole creation. But then if you add on rajas and tamas, then you become limited to nama rupa, to name and form. And so from the standpoint of Ishwara, the whole maya upadhi, the abhimana, the identification is with the reflection of the entire abhimana, with the entire creation. What are you going to be? The pratibimba is going to be an infinite sattva, which means that what is in your consciousness as Brahman, what is reflected in consciousness, is the whole infinite creation. And because of that, the abhimana, because you are that self, that is the me, there is an abhimana, an identification with the entire infinite creation. Because of the sattva pervading the whole creation, it's vishuddha, the point of identification, the pratibimba for the Ishwara, is only with the sattva. There's no identification with any other rajas or tamas upadhi. And so then what is your self experience? I am Ishwara. I am the whole. There is no limitation whatsoever. So here he says, sattva rajas tamas, sattva vishuddhi. And then, that's the maya, but then the avishuddhi bhyam, by the avishuddhi, it becomes avidya. So the prakriti is called maya, and Ishwara, from the standpoint of sattva shuddhi, unencumbered sattva, reflecting the whole Ishwara, the whole Maya Upadhi, you have an abhimana, a sense of self for. But if it's vishuddhi, so sattva shuddhi is if it's avishuddhi, if it's avishuddhi, impure, that means it's combined with rajas and tamas. And so the abhimana is the sense of me. It's not what's just for the whole creation. It's with me, the sattva, who is encumbered and part of the body, mind, sense organs, which are the rajas and the tamas. And so that's what makes the avidya. So avidya, for when that kind of ajnanam is there, brought about by the nature of the upadhi, this pure sattva being contaminated by rajas and sattva in terms of the identification or the pratibimba, and Ishwara, that whole Maya Upadhi, sattva only, then that means that this whole thing is me. You can say that I'm this body, not that body. Ishwara will say this whole thing is me, because there's no point of identification outside of the sattva, which is reflects the self as infinite, the infinite being that I am. So now what he says is, because this verse is only talking about Ishwara, he says, Maya Bimbaha, the reflection of Maya, okay, Vashi Kritya, holding in his hands that reflection of Maya, Tam Syat, Syat, Sarvajnaha, Ishwara. Ishwara gains Sarvajnaha, right, in reference to that. So the Maya Bimbaha, so Ishwara is the Maya Bimbaha, the reflection of Maya, which we know makes him Sarvajnaha, because everything is known. This is known, this is known, this is known. For us, it's limited. For Ishwara, this is known, this is known, this is known. The whole thing is known. There's no ajnanam there. So that's the Maya Bimbaha. So they say, having Vashi Kritya Tam, that Prakriti, having that under his control, we'll see what that means next class, Vashi Kritya, then that Maya Bimbaha is Sarvajnaha Ishwaraha. Means Ishwaraha is Sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha, all knowledge. Sarva all nyaha, the one who has all knowledge. Because there's nothing constricting, there's no pratibandhaka in terms of the upadhi. It's not limited by rajas or tamas. Rajas and tamas become an object of perception, not a point of identification. The only point of identification is with the sattva. And so everything else becomes a namarupa, including the prana, and the karmendriyas and everything is a something that is objectified within that creation. So Ishwara has all knowledge and is the one who is the whole, identified with the whole Maya Upadhi. Identified, and also the Maya Upadhi reflects me. There's nothing to limit my sense of self. My sense of self is not limited by the sattva, by the rajas and tamas. So my sense of self is just pure Brahman. It's kind of like Savikalpa Samadhi, you know, or even Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where there's no limitation to me. There's nothing impeding the full my nature. Impeding my nature would be what? The ajnanam, causing the identification with sattva, rajas, and tamas, the prakriti. So, we'll see this.
Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.